Today on Real Radio.
47 and some odd percent of evangelical Christians believe there is no personal Satan and no real devil, but in other words, it's a symbol or a story, and yet Jesus Christ put that statistic down completely. He's real. The enemy's real. And so Paul is going to be experiencing the attacks of the enemy, as we see in our study right now. So with what happened last week, Satan's going to up the ante, and he's going to attack through two forms of deception. Number one is get all the crowds and all of the people pumped up to come against God's work, or go through subtle deception, which seems to work pretty good. It worked in the garden a long time ago, and I think it's still working today. But listen, if you're a believer, the Bible promises you trouble from Satan, trouble from the world, trouble from the flesh. If you have not had any trouble, don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. If you're a believer, trouble will come in your life. But thank God we have the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts, and we're looking at chapter 19. The Apostle Paul continues to preach about Messiah Jesus to both Jews and Gentiles. Now, quite obviously, he's going to be coming up against some strange gods being among the Gentiles. This New Testament narrative helps us to understand first-century cultures and worldviews, as well as today's mentality. You see, there exists a war that is invisible to us, but it's there, as we'll learn in this study called Satan's Counterattack. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We're going to look at verses 21 to 41 in our study. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that there is no gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they heard this, they were full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. That's typical. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about the space of 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana, and of these things which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and they have proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give an account for this disorderly gathering. And when they had heard his saying of these things, he dismissed the assembly. And I want you to be careful about that. It may sound pretty good, but the title of the message this morning is Satan Counters the Attack. Satan counters the attack. Last week we saw Paul the Apostle doing radical things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan was being destroyed and put down by the works of godly people. Remember, we saw how the sons of Sceva were going to imitate the work of God, and they went to cast out demons. And they said, by the name of Paul, by the name of Jesus, and by Paul, whom Jesus preaches, come out. And the demons did come out, by the way. They came out and jumped right on these guys who were trying to imitate the work of God and not under the power of the Holy Spirit. But Satan was terribly embarrassed by what had happened because the church was making great advancements in the city of Ephesus, a great place. But what happened now, as Satan will always counter the attack of God against his kingdom, he now will really generate two forms of attack. And I want you to be sensitive to that this morning. By the way, if you're visiting for the first time, you would have missed the statistic that we gave last week. 47% of evangelical Christians believe there is no personal Satan and no real devil. But in other words, it's a symbol or a story. And yet Jesus Christ put that statistic down completely. He's real. The enemy's real. And so Paul is going to be experiencing the attacks of the enemy, as we see in our study right now. So with what happened last week, Satan's going to up the ante, and he's going to attack through two forms of deception. Number one is get all the crowds and all of the people pumped up to come against God's work, or go through subtle deception, which seems to work pretty good. It worked in the garden a long time ago, and I think it's still working today. But listen, if you're a believer, the Bible promises you trouble from Satan, trouble from the world, trouble from the flesh. If you have not had any trouble, don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. If you're a believer, trouble will come in your life. But thank God we have the Lord. The Bible says, Peter told us in 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober. The word means self-controlled, and be vigilant. That word means to be alert. Why do we need to be alert? And why do we need to be so self-controlled? He says, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a lion, that's who he is, walking around seeking whom he may devour. And that word in 1 Peter 5:8, devour, means to drink down completely or gobble up. You ever feel like Satan's might, you know, is right on your heels to gobble you up? Well, that word means that he seeks those to gobble up or to swallow up. And he's trying to do that in our lives. But greater is he that is in us, the Bible says, than he that is in the world. But what can we expect as Satan comes to attack Paul and attack you? What can you expect? And this is something, I'm going to give you the verse, but I confess right now, I never catch on until it's too late in my life. I never get it until it's too late. Satan, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says there that Satan is a liar from the very, very beginning. There's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, or when he speaks a lie because the truth is not in him. And that he's the father of all lies. So when Satan speaks, he speaks so deceptively, so convincingly. He does so through lying. And you know what? I've got to confess so often. I go, oh, okay, that sounds good. And I just like a dope walk right into the battle. And we need to be careful in our lives. If you're a believer, the enemy is attacking you because you're advancing in Christ. This morning, you are either going forward with Jesus Christ or you're going back with Jesus Christ. If you're going back, I guess you can't go back with Jesus Christ, can you? Because he's going forward. I guess to go back is to depart from him and to backslide away. If you're doing that right now, you are absolutely no threat to the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand that? Satan just pulls out his violin and he's playing a song, and he just wants you to start snoring all the way back as we slide backwards. But if you're advancing in Christ, oh, he puts down his violin and he brings out his subtleties. And so we're going to be studying about that this morning. The first thing I want you to see in your note-taking is that Paul has a great responsibility to the gospel. We see that in verses 21 and 22. So look at it with me right there. It says, when these things were accomplished. What things? Verse 20. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, the word of the Lord grew mightily. That's one thing. And the second thing is, it prevailed. When these things were taking place, Satan was mounting an attack because he was losing ground. So it says in verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, I'm going to go off to Rome. Well, I want you to check this right now. I see two things in these two verses that are important to us. Number one, concerning Paul's responsibility to the gospel, the first thing is found in verse 21. He's got a heart for the church. Well, you might think, well, that's pretty obvious. Well, you know what? I rejoice in this kind of a heart this day and age. You got people in scandals. You got people who are cardinals and pastors and reverends and whatever, and there's scandals everywhere. In fact, in our meeting this afternoon, we're going to be talking about integrity in the ministry and in the church. Why? Because it's such a rare commodity these days. Can you believe somebody when they say something? Paul told the church, I love the church. I love you guys. Well, he backed it up with his conduct. And I'm blessed by this guy. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Paul, but I don't want to go through the things that Paul's gone through. That's probably the reason why I won't be like Paul. But he's got a heart for the church. He didn't leave them in the lurch. Look what it says here. It says in verse 21 that when these things have been accomplished, the church is healthy now. They're doing great. He sees them all leaning on the Word of God. And then he backs away when the time is right. He's a church planter. That's what I want this church to be like, a church that plants churches all over. And you don't leave them too soon. You don't put a mark in your spiritual belt and say, yeah, we got a church down the street. We got a church around the world. No, man, Paul sets them up, grooms them, gets them healthy, gets them strong. And he says, when these things are accomplished, then he backs away and he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Rome. We know from other portions of Scripture, Romans chapter 1 and Romans 15, that he's also going to go to Spain. And that's what's in his heart to do. But the first thing is that he's got a heart for the church. He sets them up, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And I love that. He doesn't leave them too soon, and he doesn't stay too long. Tendency for a man like Paul is for people to build their relationship to God upon Paul, because he was such a strong example of the Word of God. But Paul backs away, and well, he should. The second thing I see is in the latter part of verse 21 and verse 22 regarding Paul's responsibility to the gospel is that it is seen by his ability to follow Jesus Christ. Every great leader is a great follower. Every great leader is a great follower. It's a person who can follow. And this is interesting. Watch your Bible carefully. You may see a little variation in how it reads from Bible to Bible here this morning. It says that he purposed, my Bible says, in the Spirit, capital S. Some of your Bibles might say in his Spirit, little case, lowercase s. Well, guess what? Scholars are totally, they don't know the answer to that. They really don't. That's why some of your Bibles have a little s and some of our Bibles have a big s. Paul purposed in his Spirit. That's the real you in the inside, your insides, the real you. Or he purposed in the Holy Spirit. Which one is it? Well, nobody knows. I know. I think I know. I'm sorry. I think I know this. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, for one thing. You are fulfilling the demands and the requirements and the purposes of God's Holy Spirit. So when you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to bicker about, gee, was that me or him? It doesn't matter. You're walking in the Spirit. You're in the Word. You're in worship. You know the Lord. And the thoughts that come into your heart, God is going to direct you. So that's why your Bible says he might have purposed in his Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. Hey, I know the answer. Don't worry about it. That's the answer. Walk with God. He's going to direct your steps. It's simple as that. Oh gosh, Jack, can it be that simple? He knows how we are. He knows how smart or the lack thereof we are. He makes it easy to follow him. But Paul's going to follow the Lord. When these things were accomplished, he purposed in the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, listen, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." How does his good pleasure, everybody listening? How is his good pleasure brought about in this world? By working in you. Do you believe that this morning? Are you a Christian this morning? Then God is working in you to bring about his pleasure on the earth. Do you believe it? Do I believe that? Man, this separates the camp. Are we believing in him to pull off what he said he'll do? Well, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it in you. He's going to change the world through you. He says so. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." That's why this morning I gave you the encouragement about worship. Delight yourself in the Lord. The word delight means to be lost or to be caught up into his presence. Be caught up. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart? Well, it all depends if you're delighting yourself in the Lord. I can honestly tell you, when I am not delighting myself in the Lord, the desires of my heart are, I wish I had a bigger house. Wow, look at that car. Look at that. Ooh, hey, wow. But then when I'm delighting myself in the Lord, it doesn't matter what goes on in this world. It's like, praise the Lord. And whatever is going on in the world, it's not attractive to me if I'm delighting myself in the Lord. And it says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Can you imagine this? I wrote this down just because it freaked me out. Can I imagine me, Jack, take it or leave it for you. This is me personally. Can I imagine having all of my desires that are in my heart approved of by God? Can I imagine such a thing? Can I walk with the Lord in such a way that the desires of my heart are pleasing to him? Now, some of you are thinking, that sounds a little too good to be true. But it's true. It's true. Paul was so confident. Well, I think he's a little prideful, Jack. Oh, no, he wasn't. God doesn't use pride. Paul was confident in Christ. Listen to this. He was confident about three essential things. That's why he went forward knowing that God was leading him. That's how he could be purposing in the Spirit. Number one, he knew that God loved him as he was. You got to write that down for your life. Does God, how about this? Do I believe God loves me as I am in Christ? Second thing is, God saved him for a purpose. Now, God has saved you, and your goal and my goal is to get to heaven. Once that's settled, our secondary goal really should transcend all things, and that is to bring him praise, honor, and glory. And God has called you to be used by the Holy Spirit in this world. He has saved you to be used. Do you believe that? The third thing is that God desires to use you and me. You know, God is going, oh boy, here we go. I'm going to bring this into their life. I'm going to have this happen. And I'm preparing them to be used by me later, or even in that moment, or in that trial. You guys were praised and exalted this week when Renee came to church, came into the office, and he's got this huge scar on his head from that tumor that was removed from him. And this guy's glad to be alive. And he walked in, and just bubbling out of him is, I love this place. Everybody was praying. People were just praying, and some people don't even know who I am, and they were praying, and God's done a great thing. Well, what do you say to somebody who's come back from the dead? Well, you know, don't get out of hand now. Don't get a little excited here. You know, you're in a church. You got to be somber and baloney. Let it rip. God is using those he saves. And the Holy Spirit works through Paul and works through us naturally. It says here, and I love, that's why there's the big argument. Was it his Spirit or the Holy Spirit? I like what that speaks of. That means God's talking to him naturally. And all the commentators are having a hard time figuring it out. Well, they can go separate their problems over here. I'm going to rejoice that the Lord wants to lead us. Proverbs, jot these down. You're going to need them this week. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Did you hear that? Commit your way to the Lord. That means I'm going to follow you. And your thoughts are going to be established by God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Satan's Counterattack. A look at the last 20 verses of Acts chapter 19. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of this presentation. Well, the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is at the end of next week, and you've been thinking about attending, but you've been putting it off. Well, just visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Now, there's one thing that I'm sure you know about the conference that is really the primary topic. To some, it may seem sensitive, but it's really not. If we want to get to the truth of the matter, we're going to have to step up to the plate and be bold. Of course, we're speaking of Islam and its followers. Now, those are two different things. Pastor Jack, as Franklin Graham declared shortly after 9/11, Islam is an evil religion. But yeah. Its adherents, now, they're not all the same.
Mike, that's a great question. Many of us as Western Christian believers, we have the tendency to just clump people together. I know some Muslims, they're very nice people. Thus, I conclude all Muslims are nice people. And yet, what we need to realize is that the Quran teaches otherwise. And though you may have a wonderful friend who's a Muslim, it's very possible, like some Christians who don't know what Christian doctrine is. A Muslim friend may not know what Islam teaches, but there will come a time, and that's what we're seeing in the world around us, where the recreational Muslim will have to decide to join this global worldwide jihad, which has been declared in the late 80s and is escalating. We don't want to hear this, but it is escalating. They will either be pressured to join this jihad, or they will actually become victims of it, again, according to the teachings of Islam.
And of course, like in today's study, we just heard there's a war going on, and we're a part of it, whether we admit it or not.
The temptation for every believer is to be apathetic on this issue. Frankly, it's easy to bury your head into the sand on this one and just pretend it's not happening. But Christian, I want to put this plea out to you. As a pastor, I want to put this exhortation and challenge to you. Please understand the times in which we live and be equipped to love them to Christ and to love them rightly in spirit and in truth. And that means to stand for the truth in love. And that's the only way that we are going to be able to rescue some. We hope we rescue all of them, but to rescue just one for Jesus Christ, one friend that you might be sitting next to in your cubicle at work or a carpool partner, or maybe it's somebody who lives on your street, to make it a point to reach them for Jesus Christ. They need to know the peace that you and I take so much for granted for, because God is desiring to reach them, and he's going to reach them through you and I.
And just by way of reminder, this is a ticketed event. They have to get the ticket in order to attend.
And you can obtain that ticket at the SoCalProphecyConference.com website. Just go there. You can even Google Southern California Prophecy Conference, and it's going to come up. Or you can call us at 909-393-7100. That's 909-393-7100. Or if you're out of town, you can get a hold of us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, SoCalProphecyConference.com or 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.